This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings. Glad you made it.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, grace will not last forever. Born out of God's love and that of his Son, Jesus Christ, the judgment comes at the hands of the Almighty One for rejecting the grace so freely offered. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday the 13th, 2017. We are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglensmith.com to check out the latest articles on our sites. We have Pride, Destruction, At What Moment? At what moment will your pride bring utter contempt for God's mercy, and you find judgment instead. Uncivil defense, the tongue waging a war of iniquity with pride flowing from all sides. The truth has been discarded. Perceived truth, loving praise of men. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. He that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus Christ in John 12. America, mystery of iniquity. The latest round of mayhem, murder, and national news reveals we are in the middle of the mystery of iniquity. The USA and its days of lawlessness are in full swing. The news today is and has been the same. Bad news and more bad news. You can go to warn-usa.com or danaglensmith.com to read those articles. The readings in the Word this week are Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 through chapter 42, verse 10. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 23. You can find us on Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, Vimeo, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates on the WIBR Warn-USA Warn Radio Events shows and more. Sorry about that. Follow us on Twitter, go to hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WGS underscore Watchman, or hashtag Warn Radio. Tonight, No Greater Love, Part 8, Almighty, Rejection and Judgment. He says, I am the Almighty. He came as the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world to those who would believe and receive him. God has given mankind grace since that time on the cross when the Lord said, it is finished. Today we look to his coming in his kingdom. To those who reject him, judgment awaits them along with the second death. It is to this end grace will not last forever. But in that grace, many found love, acceptance, forgiveness, and hope beyond this earthly coil. Don't miss this wrap-up segment of No Greater Love, Part 8, Almighty, Rejection and Judgment. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound of Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Glad we're here. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, we're here, and we should finish up our series tonight. No Greater Love, and it was a big series, and we've been on it for quite a while. But at any rate, a shout out to all those that listen to us on Vimeo, on iHeartRadio, and many other places. We literally are on a lot of different ones. I was looking at some of that, you know, this last year on Vimeo. If we took all the people that listen to our shows on Vimeo, it would be 42 days straight plus.
Wow, that's great.
And, you know, and the thing of it is that we appreciate those that listen to us on Vimeo. Actually, they watch it because those are high-def videos that we do of all the shows.
Awesome.
Yeah, and, of course, we have a number of different avenues that are too extensive to begin to tell you, but warn-usa.com and our sidebar of our blog and also on the front of our page just gives you a few of them. You can listen to this Spreaker show live from the front of both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com because we've got the embed there. It starts automatically when you scroll down to it. And those automatically go to iHeartRadio. iHeartRadio is one that's become a pretty good a source for a lot of people to listen to the show. We do have a Warn Radio app that we encourage you to get. Don't cost anything. You can get that over on Google Play or on our site. But, you know, there is a trick for people to find them on Google. And, you know, I haven't even begun to even advertise it, and I probably won't really advertise it. This is just a service for those who listen. We are going to go ahead and get an iPhone app, and I've got to look at the whole thing again to see really if this is how we want to proceed. But we do that as a service for those around the world who want to listen, and we have people that come to our website from around the world, and the Spreaker is pretty much geared toward you know, your smartphone, and so that's and then we put it on our own websites, and so you know, we just have sources all over our websites as far as that goes for you to listen and to read the articles in depth and stuff. And so, at any rate, tonight, you know, as we look at this month and everything, you know, going by real fast, we are going to be taking next week off, and then we'll resume the following week. We normally take off time around Tabernacles, and so it is. We'll be doing it again, and Tabernacles is over as of yesterday, and we couldn't this year take anything off during Tabernacles, but so the following week, at any rate, we'll be back. We've got a number of things that are happening that we'll be informing people. And we pretty much do it through our websites and the posts, you know, that we put up and things like that. There will be a press release coming out from us sometime in the future about some things, the information that we're doing. A lot of things that... you know, we're not going to change preaching and teaching. That's what we do. So going over the news and things like this, we definitely want to be doing these things. You know, Tower, over on my over on the Dana Glenn Smith site, I have two new videos on our news page right on the front.
Okay.
One of them is Trump. Given his speech today live at the Voters Value Summit. Now, the Voters Value Summit is a conservative group of people from many, many organizations. Yeah, he actually spoke before them when he was running for president, and he told them that he would be back after he becomes president. And today he officially became the first sitting president to address this Voters Value Summit. It's a conservative, and it's about 25 minutes long, and I guarantee you, you will love what he had to say. They did. But it also will, like I put on the front of the of this thing when I posted it, if you're conservative, then you're going to love what he had to say. But if you're liberal, you're going to hate everything he said. And that's really what it is. And as soon as I put it up, it was less than, I don't know, a couple hours or so, WorldNet Daily had something out talking about all the repercussions already, you know, because he just absolutely laid it into them as far as, you just got to listen to it.
How do you find it?
Go over to danaglennsmith.com. I have a, I changed this up at the upper part. It's a page. It's a news page that is that is pinned to the top of my personal site. And I change that every week. And in this case, I've updated it twice this week. And one, I have a video of college football players singing the national anthem when the anthem wouldn't play.
I wanted to talk about that last night, and I forgot about that.
Well, you can go right ahead, because we got some time. And then above that one is the Voters Value Summit video.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
And I did watch it today because I was looking for some material to put on that news site. And, I mean, you know, he's doing exactly what we think should have been done. Now, I read an article today from, he was actually writes for WorldNet Daily, but he is a liberal. Joseph Ferraro said he keeps some of these liberals around to give an alternative point of view. Which is up to them. I don't care what they put on there, you know. But at any rate, you know, and I also seen it on another site as well. And, you know, they were called Trump the Destroyer because he was destroying Obamacare.
Good.
Dismantling it. And this one guy who didn't like it said, well, you can depend on him to continue doing it. Well, yeah. You know, because that's what we want. You know, that's why the guy was put in there. You know, when Obama went through all the stuff he did, we as conservatives didn't like it. And, you know, and Obama and Trump also said that on my administration, it's not going to be a crime and a sin to be a Christian and stand up for what you believe in.
Good.
And he's instructed the Justice Department to ensure that no group will be come against it. So, and there's some things right in your face. And he was talking just about his bowl. And of course, they loved it, but I'll tell you, all the liberals and everybody else, they're absolutely going to be apoplectic. And Obama's probably having a respirator right now. Because, I mean to tell you, it was just like, you know, we haven't had a president talk like this since, well, ever. You know, it's just hilarious to me that the guy got in and he's over there, you know, talking about God. You know, he says, the government, you know, we don't put the government first, he says. We put God first.
That's right. Amen.
You know, I mean, it just like, you know, and any rate, if you're conservative, you want to listen to Trump's 25-minute speech on Voters Value Summit. But, you know, it's not going to be, you know, and the thing of it is, he's got some things with Israel, too. Israel came out today. They're pulling out of UNESCO, too. And I have an article we're going to cover next week, hopefully, on our news show. But Israel was saying that Trump would not pull out of the Iran deal. The Israeli Times, I think that's the one that covered it. And I was reading that today, and I thought, well, how do they know? And within 2 hours or 3 hours, the news came out that Trump said he wasn't pulling out of the thing, but they're going to do a few different things.
The Iran deal.
See, a lot of them were worried that he was going to do it, and so he's not going to do it. Instead, he's going to give it to the Senate, you know, to Congress to deal with. And the ongoing feeling for the Congress is they don't want to do nothing. And I thought, well, that's about what they've been doing, is doing nothing. So doing nothing on this too is about what they've been doing. They've been doing nothing. And so at any rate, he's handing it to them, and they're not going to do anything with it. So then it's just going to sit the way it was, and I don't know what's going to happen after that.
Is that good or bad?
Well, the thing of it is, they want to add a few things to it. They want to make sure that Iran can't send any ICBMs over against Israel. There's a few things they want to do. And now if he ends it right away... they said that Iran could automatically start building the bomb. So as far as Iran goes, they don't really care, you know, because as soon as they quit it, that means they can go ahead and build the bomb because they've got all the materials. You know, you've got, there's nothing here that is going to be solved without major conflict. You're just biding your time. Sooner or later, Iran is going to attack Israel. Sooner or later, America is going to get into it with them. Sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with North Korea. He also mentioned Venezuela, and he also mentioned Cuba. You know, I mean, he's not Obama, who is, you know, he likes socialism and communism. You know, he likes that. And he dealt with both Castro and Venezuela that way, and the people from South America. Trump isn't like that. He doesn't believe in that, and he wants people to have freedom of religion and a few other things. And see, of course, Cuba is a Catholic country, but, you know, we know very well the reports coming out of there that Protestant Cubans, their churches have been closed down, they've been thrown in jail and persecuted, while the Pope visits Cuba and gets away with it, and the Catholics do all right there. So, so at any rate, you know, it's different, and there's a lot of things happening in America, especially with Trump, and you know, the old boys in the that came across the wire about all the, the stocks and everything, you know, they're all doing really good. They're at an all-time high. Many of them are leaving them there because they believe that this thing is going to close out the year on a record note because of the policies that Trump has been pushing. He was mentioning some of the stuff that the stock market had done. You know, of course, that's right up his line, a lot of that. And it was in the trillions that had recovered and gone ahead. I mean, people have made a lot of money on there. I mean, there's a lot of money being made right now. And so, I mean... You know, we have a lot of countries like North Korea and Iran that threaten nukes. But, you know, you have this good old mammon, you know, over there in the stock market, man. That thing is just going crazy. And of course, the economy is doing okay. Now, here in our state, I did notice that the rig count was down this week. But pretty much, you know, things, I mean, around our neck of the woods, there's people everywhere. I don't know, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I think she's turning around, and I think that, you know, he does have a while to go, so this thing ain't out of the woods, and we don't know what 2018 will bring, but, you know, I don't know. I have noticed on a lot of the liberal sites, and I pretty much watch MSN. I don't pay attention to their stories, but I monitor them. Let's put them in, put it that way, because I have my own line of places that people and organizations that do the headlines that I get and listen to, and it's pretty much all emailed to me. I have a few sites that I go to, but I don't extensively search the web because I don't need to. The only time I do that is when I'm doing different kinds of research. But, you know, I did notice that there, you can tell on MSN when it's a liberal-leaning article. But they are doing a lot better than they used to, because, boy, I tell you, MSN, when this thing was going full bore before Trump got elected, you would see repetitive articles, the same one, throughout their feed over and over and over again, and they would do that on a lot of them, and they were all liberal, designed totally anti-Trump. And everything was that way on the front of it. Matter of fact, I stopped using the MSN app altogether. I still don't use it. I don't use it at all. But I do monitor their news. So, and they are doing better. But, oh, you know what? You've heard of the Huffington Post, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, you know, the Huffington Post was sold, and I can't remember who they were sold to. She was able to stay on after she sold it, but then I think she left. But today I seen probably $1 million fancy bus, you know, the big buses like you and I know about. You know, that you live in, you know, like a rock star or something would have.
Yeah.
It said Huffington Post on it.
Really? And where did you see that at?
2 blocks from where you went to work.
Really?
It was going across over that way. I don't know where they were headed. I was thinking that they were heading down into Rawlins. Where they were at, it would have been hard for them to get on somewhere to go to Shoshone and all those places, but they very well, if they went through, you know, Evansville and all that and go out that way by power service. But they were over by you going over the street bridge there, you know, over the railroad. And they had a big tour thing printed on the side of their bus. They were doing a nationwide Huffington Post tour for some reason.
Wow.
And you couldn't see inside of it, but you could see the driver, and it was all duded up, and, you know, I mean, they had spent some money on this, so they'd been doing this for a while. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know where they were going, but
that's interesting.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see them, and that just shows you that some of these websites that these people have started, they actually do get sold for millions. She made a lot of money on that when she put it together, became real popular. You know, it's worth a lot of money. And so she sold it. You know, she didn't have to worry about it. And I think she was starting another one or doing something. I don't know.
That's interesting.
Because she got with the company, was going to stay with it for a while. And then the last I heard, she was leaving. You know, but I don't know. I never did do Huffington Post because they're liberal, totally liberal.
Yeah.
Really, really, HuffPo. I huff and I puff and I blow your house down. In this case, the liberals couldn't do it. And Trump won. So all that huffing and puffing didn't do any good.
Yeah.
So I thought you'd find that interesting.
That is.
Yeah, we don't see those kind of buses around here very often, folks. You know, and especially in this time of the year. This is not a good time for tour buses to be coming through. We're heading into the colder season, and most visitors go south for the winter.
Yeah.
They don't come to our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Because if you want to freeze your tush off, you just move to Wyoming or Montana. I don't know about Idaho, though. I think they get as cold. I don't know, though. So, now, I know North Dakota because we were up there, went to college up there, had a business up there, and that gets cold. North Dakota, cold.
Yeah, it does.
Lots of snow and cold. Yeah. Yeah, like we used to say, everybody is from North Dakota.
Yes, from.
From. Yeah, you don't hear people, well, I'm going to move to North Dakota. They go up there to work, you know, and when the oil boom hit and a lot of this other, they went up there, you know. But they don't go up there just to go live and plant themselves, usually. So at any rate, we're going to be getting going on this study.
Well, do you want me to talk about the anthem?
Yeah. I was waiting for
you.
Oh,
well, you were talking. So anyway, these kids, Hampton College versus Trinity College football, they ended up doing an impromptu anthem because for some reason the announcer came out and said there were problems. They couldn't get the anthem played. So the players started singing. And they said, we weren't all in sync. We had like three different waves of the Star Spangled Banner going. And Trinity senior fullback Ethan Sirachi said the experience was terrific and that the players on the teams loved singing the anthem before games. And both the teams came together and sang it. And, you know, it is amazing because you see the NFL acting childish about it, and they use it for political purposes. So it was good to see these kids come together and sing the anthem. You know, like you said, it was truly amazing. Okay, I'm done. That's all I wanted to say.
I know. I know you are. I was busy.
Well, okay.
And you have to learn to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Gotta get you.
Someday. Maybe I'll get it right.
Well, at any rate, you can watch that video over on our news page. That's it's actually the top of DanaGlennSmith.com. It'll tell you there. It's a big a little section there. And you can
feel good.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Especially after watching all these millionaire athletes protest.
That's stupid.
Yeah. And
you know, we were talking the other night, if my grandparents and your grandparents seen them acting like this today, I'm sure they would say it's treasonous. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, we got a different atmosphere today, and everything is everybody's a victim today. Look at Hollywood now. Now, all of a sudden, we have all these women coming out. And any time I hear this, I always say, well, where were you 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, you see, that's the way we are today. It's okay to be a victim today. And you can get sympathy and you can have your voice heard. So everybody's a victim. The blacks are a victim. I mean, everybody's a victim today except the whites. The whites are the problem, you see. They think, and so it really is a pain in the butt. And of course, you know, I was listening to our local radio station talk about all these women that were coming out about Weinstein and all this other stuff that was going on.
Uh-huh.
And they were reading some of their sources that they had for this. And they were saying that that the people back at then, you know, a lot of those that was trying to break into the acting field were willing to do anything in order to get a gig. And that's
horrible.
That's true. Now, the thing of it is that Corey Feldman, and he was, this was brought out by InfoWars and Alex Jones's group. It's been quite a number of years ago that he came out, and he was talking about how the kids, the boys and the girls that are child actors, are prone to be molested. And he was molested. A number of them were, and he came out, and he wasn't well received at all. He was on Oprah, and they said Oprah couldn't believe that was going on. But you know, the
wake up, Oprah.
Yeah, well, this was years ago, and so you know you've had that going, and of course. You know, like the local radio station says, well, you know, they're sending Weinstein. He's going to go over to a sex rehab place. And they said, oh, he's going to be fixed, right?
Yeah,
he's going to come back all better now. Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, like, you know, I got the Brooklyn Bridge to sell you. You know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, who knows? Dear God in heaven, what a mess. You know, and
I know.
There ain't nothing worth selling your soul for just to get a part.
That's right.
No, it's not. It's all fickle.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, we're going to do this. And
okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, we're going to finish up No Greater Love. This is part 8, Almighty, Rejection and Judgment. Now, of course, you know, the Lord, and I speak about this a lot. You know, there's no reason why people need to find his wrath, because he's provided for people to find his mercy through Christ. And through him, believing on him, you know, the second death has no power over you. You can find forgiveness and be reunited to the Father. You know, but when nations and people reject the Lord, that's where you find his judgment. And, you know, that's really where it's at. You're either going to find his mercy, you're going to find his judgment. So we've been talking about no greater love, and of course there is no greater love than what God did through his Son. And no greater love. Matter of fact, God so loving the world, and his Son coming and loving us and loving his Father and dying on the cross so that we could be reunited with the Father and be reinstated where we lost everything. That's love too. And of course, Paul talks about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he talks about the society is going to reject the love of the truth, and that's what they're going to reject, the gospel and the Lord and salvation, and God's going to send them a lie, a judgment, which is a lie, and the son of perdition will show up. So at any rate, that's what happens. Now, we're talking about closing this thing up, and you know, one part that I love to go to is the first chapter of Revelation. And see, it says, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Now see, he was a companion in tribulation, he was a brother, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Now see, Revelation talks about the patience of the saints, and we are expected to have patience, the faith and testimony and patience of Jesus Christ. And see, John was, you know, imprisoned. He was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony which he gave of Jesus Christ. Now, see, that's what the world likes to do to people that believe in him. Now, living in America, of course, we've lived in a country that wasn't the case. For, you know, the whole time, practically, you know, Christians could live and have their faith and not have to worry about being persecuted and killed and destroyed. The gospel went out. And, and it wasn't really until Obama got in for 8 years that we started seeing the government change and there was a persecution of Christians. Well, Trump has changed a lot of that, and the policies have been changed. But see, in this first chapter, the Lord appears to John. And John heard a voice behind him, like a trumpet. And this voice was saying, "I am Alpha and Omega." Now remember, when I'm saying this, this was like a trumpet, really loud, echoing out, full. If you've ever heard a brass section, imagine the brass just playing a tune where you can actually read these words. "The first and the last, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." So he turns around and he says, "I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about with a paps with a golden girdle." Now he would know who this is because he had been with him as a disciple. "His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And in his right hand had seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in its strength." And of course, when John saw him, he fell dead at his feet. But see, the Lord said, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Now you see, he is the first fruits, and he is glorified. Now he left his glory in order to come do this, and he was born of a woman, being fully human, but also fully God. He went to the cross and died, and officially died, was in the grave for 3 days, and was resurrected from the dead. So that's why he says, "I'm he that liveth, but I was dead." He was resurrected from the dead. "I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death." Now that is who the Lord is. That is our victory. And he is the one that is the judge. He is the one that has the keys to hell and death. And hell and death both are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so, you know, this is very important. When we look at this, no greater love. We talk about him coming. But when we see this, we see beyond the Lamb of God. This is not the Lamb of God. This is the Amen, the Alpha and Omega, the Almighty. This is the one that was given the keys to hell and death. This is the one that is going to be judging, putting down all enemies. This is the one that is the head of the church. This is the one that will hold all people accountable. And every principality and every power are subject to him. Every one of them. So this is the picture that when you do the rejecting of what the Son of God did, which is the Lamb of God who died for your sins, this one who is the Son of God, who is the Almighty now, who is the greater Son of David, who is going to be on his throne during the millennium, this is the one that will judge those who have rejected the love of God, who have rejected what God did through his Son, what this picture the Son of God did by coming as the Lamb of God, as John said. Because John did say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." And now we have in John 1, this is the same John, only older. And he doesn't see the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. This is the Alpha and Omega. This is the Almighty now that he sees. And he recognized him as one as the Son of Man. He knew who he was, but he was glorified. Now see, make no mistake about it. People will recognize him. He will have the scars still when he's not in his glorified state. He can appear in these states when he's appearing and talking to people. And in this case, leaving a message. It's here in all of this that it shows and reveals his glory. Now, in another place I like to stop off when we're summing things up in Revelation 6, which are the seal judgments. And the fifth seal, when they open that, he sees under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And there is a lot of them there. And they cried out, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Because they had been killed. And of course, when we talk about blood guilt, and blood guilt, we've talked about this a lot, taught about it in depth. The shedding of innocent blood, the shedding of the blood, even of the martyrs, God is going to hold the earth accountable, those on the earth. He will, and it's in Revelation. And so they're not asking for anything that's not scriptural. They know, avenge our blood. The blood has to be, you could say, justified. It has to be met. When you avenge, when you shed innocent blood, then that blood becomes a curse on the land and a curse on those who have shed it. And, of course, when we talk about the blood, there's life in the blood, and God had determined that the blood would be that which was used for the atonement. And that's why when Christ died on the cross, his blood became the atonement, because life is in the blood. That's the law. So his blood, being perfect, and, you know, because he was the Son of God, it provided the redemption. Now, see, these are saints who have died for the Word of God and the testimony of Christ. And so they are innocent, and their blood needs to be avenged for, and it will be in Revelation. And he will hold Babylon accountable. He will hold the harlot, the whore, accountable. He will hold the beast accountable. He will hold all of those on the earth accountable who have taken the mark. And he will feed them blood. This is going to be part of the judgment. He will literally feed them blood, and they will have blood to drink because there won't be any water. So he says, white robes were given to them, and he said that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, and it should be fulfilled. So what he's saying is that there are others who are fellow servants, people that these people knew, fellow servants that they knew, and their brethren. So there was a whole other group of people, and there's going to be a season that the martyrs are going to be martyred. And it's going to come to a time that it'll be totally fulfilled, and the martyring of the servants who are dying for their faith in this manner will come to a full. There won't be any more. And so what will be left will be those who are sealed and those who have taken the mark. And that's going to be about it. There's not going to be many other people left. And, of course, this is usually where people start talking about the rapture and stuff, explaining why, you know, many Christians aren't going to be here. But Christians are going to be here. And there is going to be a time that the Lord is going to come back, and the saints will come with him. They will meet him. But much of the time frame is off in the church. So at any rate, another one we want to talk about is Revelation 12, 10, and 11. Now see, the other one we read were those who have died for their faith. They had been martyred. Now we know very well out of Revelation 13 that the beast who is going to be dead is going to come back from the dead, and he will have a false prophet that will show up. They will have people marked. There will be the worshiping of the image of the beast, and he will make war against the saints. And in Revelation 12:10, it says, "Who are those who overcame the beast, which is the dragon?" And it says in verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Now see, that accuser was cast down when Christ went to the cross and was resurrected from the dead. He was cast down. Now see, the devil is not going to be in the presence of God. I firmly believe that. And, you know, he's got a throne, all right, but it ain't next to the Lord God. He is not up there to accuse the saints. He's not anywhere near there. He's been cast out, but he can still cause trouble in the earth, which is what he does. "And they overcame him," this is the saints, meaning the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb," that is the redemptive part, "and by the word of their testimony," that is where he says and also teaches, "He who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father and his angels. He who denies me before men, I will deny him before the Father and his angels." This is the testimony. So you need that testimony. "And they love their lives not unto death." In other words, they're martyred. So in Revelation 12:11, that is really one of the bottom line things of the end times. And that is truly be born again. Have a testimony to reveal what Christ has done for you. And live your life every day for the Lord. And if you live, you live for the Lord. And if you die, you die for the Lord. And as we've already found out, especially during ISIS 2014 and 15, a lot of Christians were killed and martyred during that time. And, you know, and I got news for you. This thing is not over. There's going to be more martyred. Now, see, the bottom line here is that we've been talking about no greater love. Now, see, we know God loves us. He sent his only begotten Son. And people can talk about John 3:16. Everybody knows that. But the bottom line of it is that the onus is going to be on those of his. Because he pointedly asks, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That, you know, in other words, you say you love me, but have you done what I've said? And in Revelation 12 that we just read, 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They have their testimony, and of course they keep it even if it means death. That is the love quotient when we talk about no greater love. And you know, this is where it gets sticky talking to Gentile Christians in America who believe in a rapture. Many of them simply don't believe they're going to be here for this. And, of course, there is a wedding supper of the Lamb. And, you know, people have been taught that they are not going to be here. But the essence of this is what is the no greater love? When you get into Revelation, the whole onus is this dividing line between absolute darkness and taking the beast's mark and not, and being a believer who is willing to stand no matter what, even unto death. Now see, that's the no greater love. Now see, today we're not there yet, but we are still required, as we end this no greater love, you're still required to say, well, what is your no greater love today? What are you going to be willing to do? Of course, you keep your faith, you go to your church, you know, or whatever you do, however you get your the word and get to learn. You know, there is a no greater love here for you. There is not only for you to receive, but for you to show out of your own faith and works. And that part of those works is believing. You know, the Jews even ask him, what is the work shall we will do? And he says, believe on him who God hath sent. You know, the believing is a work. And because without believing, which out of that, of course, is faith, you cannot please God. And as we go through this, Revelation 12:17, now Revelation 12:17, now see, the beast is revealed in Revelation 13. And here is almost to the 13th chapter. It says, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And you can say, well, we're Protestants. You know, we're Gentiles and we don't keep the commandments of God. Sure you do. Even if you keep what the Apostle Paul says and the Apostle Peter, you can find the very commandments in their teachings. And you can also find where they warn you to avoid the very things that the commandments tell you to avoid. Where do you think that Paul and the apostles, including Jesus, Yahshua, got their teachings? Out of the Torah, the Tanakh, the law, and the prophets. That's where they got them. And what did Jesus say in John 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. By this shall I know that you love me, if you keep my commandments. Now, there's a lot of the commandments, when we talk about 623 of them, they don't all apply to you. They apply to a lot of different things. And when we talk about that, you know, we are no longer in the sacrifice age. So Christ fulfilled a lot of the, you know, the sacrifices. He fulfilled a lot of the stuff like that. But he still said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So this is where this comes from in Revelation 12:17. By the time you get over to Revelation 13 then, he tells you how bad it's going to get, because in verse 10 it says, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword will be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. Now this is the battle that's going to be going on, because the dragon is going to have a false prophet. They're going to be enforcing the mark. They're going to be fighting. And they're going to be taken captives. They're going to be killing. They're going to be doing a lot of things. And for the saints, they're going to need patience and faith. Now see, all of that, the patience and the faith and how difficult it's going to be, comes out of no greater love. It's your aspect of, I'm going to do what it takes because I love the Lord. Now see, the Lord came to the cross. His no greater love was, he came and he finished no matter what. Your no greater love is keeping the faith till the end, and you're living in the end of days, and we're to give the testimony, and we're here for a set hour, and we're here for a reason. And so our no greater love is getting through this, baby, no matter what it takes. And that's giving forth the testimony in the midst of a generation that doesn't want to hear it. Preaching and teaching holiness to a generation that doesn't want holiness, for crying out loud. When you look at this whole thing, and, you know, you can look at America, and, you know, we do have problems here and there, and we had this thing down in Vegas that went on. And, you know, when you, if you listen to that talk that Trump gave, you know, it can be inspiring to conservatives, and it can make them happy because they feel the nation's going back the way it was. And he even says that we're returning the way things were. Well, see, this is all temporary. How long can he keep it going? We don't know. But the bottom line of it is that there are reprieves in history, little moments of peace, little moments of pauses that the Lord God does in societies. And right now, America, we're in this little pause here for a reason. But see, you're dealing with people that oppose this, that are very, very virulent. They're hateful. They're willing to do anything to stop this. And when he starts talking about one nation under God, these are people that don't want one nation under God. These are people that don't believe in God. And if they did, there's many of them that don't believe in the same kind of God as the God many of you Christians believe in. This is no way that this thing is going to turn around and going to go in happy Campersville, you know, forever. Inevitably, that's not a good word. But eventually, there you go, it's going to catch up. And this is where we're talking about tonight, the no greater love. Because that is deep and embedded in your heart. And that's why today, while it is day, but the night is coming, you see, while you can. This is when you teach the Word of God. This is when you preach the Word of God. This is when you encourage others to seek the Lord. This is when you tell Christians they need to get in there with God. This is when you teach your kids to get in there with the Lord. This is when you teach and you preach and you do everything in your power to get people prepared for the time of the night which comes, because it comes. And destruction will come in a moment that nobody will expect it. Nobody. Very few, if any. Now in Revelation 14, 12 and 13, it says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here is a voice, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now see, when we talk about that that fifth seal, and there's a time when it's going to be fulfilled that they're no longer going to be dying for their faith. See, this is not it. This tells you that now it begins in earnest. And that's Revelation 14, verse 13. See, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, because this is after Babylon has fallen, and this is also the warning that they give that whoever takes the mark and warns you of the judgment of those who worship the beast in his image and takes the mark. So this is right in the main line point of the tribulation where the devil begins his 3.5 years. And we know that the minute in Revelation 13, the beast is revealed, and we'll know when he is, you've got 3.5 years. And in that 3.5 years, there comes a time when it officially begins that there's going to be people who are the dead, which blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. In other words, they're believers, and when they die, they've died in the Lord. In other words, their faith, they died with their faith, believing in Christ, because that follows them. Why? Because your spirit, see, is still alive. See, your body is dead, but your spirit is alive. And if you have confessed Christ, and if you have believed on him, and if you have had works that followed you that revealed that you were his child, when you die, your body dies, your spirit is going to be alive, and that spirit alive in Christ will get you into the presence of the Son of Almighty God and into the presence of the Father. And this one tells you here exactly where it's going to be. Now see, again, no greater love. See, and this is the test when we talk about no greater love. This is why we're wrapping this up. This is the final curtain, folks. When this thing ends, there is no more of this no greater love, because you will have entered into the completion and the fullness of the love like you've never seen. But we're not there yet. And see, in Revelation 19:11, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." That's because he's the one that did the blood of the covenant. And his name is called the Word of God. He's the one, and he's also going to be doing the vengeance. And the armies which were in heaven followed him with white upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he will smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now see, this is that final battle. And when you get to it, in verse 17 and 18 and 19, you have the angel that calls all of the fowls of heaven to gather to Armageddon, because when the Lord comes, now we see a bit of this in Zechariah 14. The Zechariah provides a little more of a picture to this, and this is when the beast will have encircled with his armies Jerusalem and pretty much went through Israel. They couldn't stop him. Now, of course, the armies of the east have to move. Now, see, this is another part that, when we talk about the beast and the armies of the east, they're going to be involved in this too. So you have everything gathered around here at this time. And when the Lord appears, you're going to have this huge battle, and part of the city of Jerusalem is going to be taken, and a lot of them are going to be killed, and there's going to be a remnant left, and the Lord will appear. And you can read all that in Zechariah 14. And he's going to come and stand on the mount. There's going to be a big earthquake so that to provide a way for the people to flee away from their enemy. And as they're fleeing, the Lord will take up their rear guard, and he will destroy the enemy. Now, that's pretty much what we see with that. Now, a lot of people believe that, people that have tried to figure out how all this is going to happen, that there's going to be an exchange of nuclear missiles and things like that, very well could be. I believe that when we talk about all this, the armies of the East, when they move, it says a third of mankind are going to get killed. There's a lot of language in there, smoke and brimstone and stuff, that suggests that they would use, at that time, nuclear weapons, and a great portion of the world will be destroyed, the nations. There will be a lot of people killed at that time when they do move. So all of this will come down at one final battle. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be other battles. But I'm telling you this tonight because we're talking about the end of no greater love. See, the end of no greater love, that is, and when I say the end is actually the beginning for you. But see, you've got to be prepared that in case this happens in your lifetime. And I believe that we, this generation here, I believe I and Tower will see the coming of the Son of God. I believe we will see this physically. I believe that for there is a generation, folks, now listen to me close, that will not see death. They will transform, as Paul says. There will be those who are dead that will go before them, and then those who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall be changed in a second. Now that's scripture. But it's going to happen just, and this is according to how I can see this. Whenever I'm talking about this stuff, I always tell you, don't get so wrapped up in the details. God has a right to change all this. And we may think we know everything and have it all perfectly tuned out, you know, and written down and all the rest of the stuff, but, you know, no, we don't. As much as we think we know, we don't. But you see, Zechariah 14, when it describes the coming of the Lord, you know, we call that the post-trib rapture, or the when the saints are going to be with him. So it'll be at the very end. I don't get into timing. I don't personally care when. You know, it doesn't matter to me at all. But the bottom line of it is that these armies will be instantly destroyed, and they will not be destroyed in Jerusalem by a nuclear weapon. Now, there will be parts outside and around Israel that will have to be decontaminated from what we see in Scripture. But the thing of it is that Moses found out from the Lord that no man can see my face and live. And so it is easy to believe, therefore, that when the Lord comes with the sword of his mouth, he simply has to show up with all of his army behind them, say a few words, and they see him, and they will instantly melt and die. They will die immediately. Now, they're not going to melt totally. They're going to die. And the reason they're going to die is because they'll see him, and he will use the sword of his mouth, and he'll cut down the wicked instantly. And there is a number of reasons for why the wicked would fall. Number one, they will fall because in the presence of the Lord. And any time you get flesh in the presence of that which is eternal, flesh will fall to the ground flat. Now, we call that slain in the spirit, but it does happen. And when you're in the flesh, you can't stand before that which is perfect and holy. And so at any rate, they would be cast down and they would die. And of course, the beasts, the fowls are going to eat them. So there has to be a body left. And if there was a nuclear explosion, you know, it wouldn't make any sense to call the fowls. So these people have to instantly die, these armies, and they will instantly die when they see the Lord. And it will be because they will see the Lord, and he will come against them with the sword of his mouth. But so at any rate, I like to go over this because, you know, the bottom line of it is that you know, the Lord and his Father, when they came, they brought us love. And his love is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. And so, we have to remember that. Because as with the master, so it is with the servant. And although he does call us friends in other places, when we talk about the suffering servant, he was willing to suffer for us and to love us and give his life. Greater love has no man than his friend give his life for him. And so he did call his disciples friends, not servants. He did call them friends. And when you're a friend and you give your life for your other friend, That's true love. And so in this end time, one of the onus on the believers is we are, yes, we're servants, but we're also friends. He calls us friends. And as such, we have to be willing to lay down our lives for his name's sake. Now, there is something I call the anointing of martyrship that will come into play. There's always an anointing for certain tasks. And there will be an anointing for this. And this anointing is evident in a scripture that I read when he said, "Blessed are the dead that die from henceforth." That they may say, "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them." Now see, that is an anointed thing. That's a blessing. It's anointed. It's special. So there are those that during this time will have this blessing, this anointing, you know, from the Lord that will enable them to get through this. Because you can't do this on your own. Now, in Revelation 21:6, this is another thing that the Lord says, okay? And I find this interesting, because the Lord on the cross said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. That meant dying on the cross. That meant completing the work. That meant finishing the blood of the covenant. Because you can have a covenant, a testator, but a testament is no good unless the testator, the one that it is about, dies. So in order to have the covenant effective, he had to die and be resurrected from the dead. Now, here in verse 6, it says, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega." Now see, do you see? The other time he said three words, he said, "It is finished." And that was on the cross, and that was your redemption. From that point forward, there's redemption for those who would believe through the blood of the covenant. Now it says, "It is done." From this point forth, those who are redeemed will be able to inherit all things as long as they've overcome, and that is, haven't given up. So this is the way it is. And so this is also no greater love. "It is done," he says. "I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now see, that's "it is finished." Actually, this says "it is done." When he said "it is finished," we were redeemed. That provision actually started the grace of God, so that all men could be saved. This one says "it is done," which means judgment begins, or has already been done by this fact. He has already judged the devil. The devil is locked up now, and all the rest of them are dead. And of course, the Antichrist, or we say here, not the Antichrist, but the beast, is actually going to be the last Gentile ruler on earth, is what he's really going to be, because he signifies the end of the times of the Gentiles when he shows up, because he's going to lead the Gentile nations against Israel, which is a Jewish nation, and he's going to try to destroy them. And see, the time that Israel gets redeemed is the time when the times of the Gentiles are come to an end, and that won't officially happen until the Lord comes again as the greater son of David, and he rules and reigns. He will be the Jewish, he is the Messiah, and he's going to come again, and he's going to rule. He's coming as the warrior king. And that warrior king is David. He is the greater son of David. He is a descendant of David. And he has been given this throne, and he's going to take it and rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years, and we're going to be at his side when he does it. Now, see, all of this is going to come to an end. See, right here he says, it is done. That means it's finished. Everything is done now. And he says, he that overcometh, he's referring back. Now, he's telling this ahead of time. When you see this, he says, it is done. And he says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he says, I have the power to give those this water of life. If you will overcome and keep the faith and do as you know you need to do, you overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and you love your lives not unto death. Now that's the overcome. Remember Revelation 12:11. He says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved their life not unto death. Now here he says, it is done. And then he says, he that overcometh. That's the overcoming. Revelation 12:11 is the overcoming. Revelation here, 21:6-7 is the finish and completion of that. But he says, but the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now see, that's part of it is done. Because he's going to remove the sin. He's removing the devil and his angels. He's removing everything. You're going to inherit all things. You're going to be with your God. And he's going to be with his Son, which is you. And see, there's no greater love than to have that. See, the fulfillment of no greater love is right here, right now, at this point. Now, you're moving to that point. But the goal is not just like every day right now. Our goal is to get to the end where it says it is done. Our goal is to get to this point where we have overcame everything already and nothing has stopped us already. Now see in Revelation 22, and I quote this a lot, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Now see, that is exactly what is governing society right now. And they don't even know it. We are in the time of lawlessness. Yes. And I wrote about the mystery of iniquity in the time of lawlessness mentioned by Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2. But see, it says here, if you're unjust, go ahead and be unjust. If you're filthy, go ahead and be filthy. If you're righteous, go ahead and continue to be righteous. And if you're holy, you continue to be holy. Why? Because he says, I'm coming quickly. You're going to stand before me. And I'm going to reward you according to what you've done. If you were unjust and you wanted to continue to be unjust, I will give you the unjust man's reward. And if you are filthy and you wanted to continue to be filthy, I will give you the filthy man's reward. If you are a righteous one and you continue to be righteous, I will give you the righteous person's reward. And if you are holy and you continued to be holy, and you wanted to be holy, I will give you a holy person's reward. See, this is the black and white of where we're at. Number one, you're not going to stop the unjust. Number two, you're not going to stop the filthiness. But you're also not going to stop those who are going to want to be righteous and those who want to get holy through Christ. You're not going to stop it. They're going to try to kill every Christian on earth. They're going to make war. But the bottom line of it is that this is the battle in the end of days. And one of the main goals that you and I have is to understand the no greater love of what we have been talking about now for a number of weeks, and how this thing is going to come to an end, and that end is described in Revelation. And that end is just the beginning. When he says it is done, he doesn't say it is finished, folks. He said it is finished on the cross. What was finished? The time that you were separated from God and there was no hope. That was finished. Because he provided a way for you to come to him. Now he says it is done. What is done? The redemption of his servants. And it begins the kingdom of God. And that beginning is the beginning of eternity, which has no end. How do you begin something that has always been? You don't. You enter into it. Eternity and holiness and God has always been there. But now you, through Christ, can be there and you can be part of this because eternity has been going on for an eternal time. And now it is done. That which God and Christ had put together is done. And the wicked have been sealed up, the devil has been judged, and God has his children back with him. And verse 14 says it this way in Revelation 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. Now see, now in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now you see, that is exactly. That's the ending of the book. That's getting near the end. But it's an invitation to take part. Revelation 21 and 24 says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. That is the new Jerusalem. That's the one that's going to come down from God out of heaven. The Lord God and the Lamb are the temple. They are the temple. They are the light. You see, this is the eternity. And this is going to be on an earth. Not like this one. It's going to be redone. And it's going to be like it was in the beginning. And there will be no sin. There will be no curse. And there will be animals. And there will be streams. And there will be beautiful things. And it'll be a kingdom like you've never seen before. And it'll go on forever and ever and ever. Now see, that's no greater love. For a God to make that possible. And then Christ says, it is finished on the cross. We're no longer separated. And then at the end of Revelation, he says, it is done, meaning your redemption. And all the things that God has done has been, it's done. It's been done. The tribulation's behind. The seals are behind. The trumpet judgments are behind. Everything is done, over with. Now the redemption of his people is finished and complete. Oh, glorious time. It is done. Doesn't mean it's the end, because this means it's the beginning of your new life. It's a time that we can't even imagine. Father, we thank you for this beautiful word, this beautiful hope we find in Revelation. Lord, we look forward to that time. We have a hope. Lord, fill your people with this hope. Let them hear this word. Let them be encouraged. And let them understand what this means. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming of this word. Amen. Now, folks, I hope you truly, truly have listened to the end of this to get all of this. And we're going to be, remember, next week, we won't be here. We'll follow up the following week with all the regular shows. So we've got a few minutes.
Well, that's exciting. It comes to an end too fast, I think. I mean, you know, the shows. If I could listen more, it's just exciting thinking about the Lord and what he has in store and how he has overcome the wicked and the evil. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Well, you know, and people are so used to, like, McDonald's fodder, you know? Instant
yeah.
in, instant out.
Yep.
That people miss out on a blessing today, and unless they're willing to sit and listen, they could miss out on a blessing.
That's very true.
And you know, while we talk about the internet, in a lot of ways, you know, we get the word out around the world this way, but the internet, and I've written about it a lot, has done more to harm morals and destroy society than any other technology. It is a filthy, filthy thing. There's a lot of wicked, filthy things that have gone on. And so this is a tool. This is not a means to an end. This is a tool. And we use it to get the word to those who wouldn't normally get it, who haven't heard this. And that's why we do it through Spreaker, because we're trying and we are succeeding in getting the message to those who have smartphones. And we know from the figures that we are having people on smartphones tuning in to this show. We know that. The problem comes in with some of them don't want to listen for a long time. But they are hearing something. And on Vimeo, you know, I just did a thing for the last year that they had kept stuff. And there was like, if you took the time that people listened to our show, watched our shows on the video, it was 42 days plus. You figure 42 days straight that people, 24 hours a day, all the time, for 42 days.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they'd been watching the videos and the teachings. And on our website, we also have a whole other thing for our own shows on there. We post these on our websites, and every one of them gets sent out again to other avenues. So we have just a massive amount of these things going out in every which way. And we're doing this to get the word out, to reach people around the world, to get the word to those who don't have PCs or in some of the closed countries. They can hear this on their smartphone and hear it in the privacy of their room or somewhere where they don't have to worry about being harassed. So it's important to understand these things. There's still a lot of people around the world that can hear English and understand. And this word is sent out to the ends of the earth. We're going to have to say goodnight, Tower.
Good night, everybody. We love you. God be with you. Enjoy your Sabbath rest. God bless you, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Shalom.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.